So we're into week two of talking about sing, and it's like, why are we doing a series on sing, on singing? And I hope part of it is, in some sense, there's a number of reasons. One, I don't sing well, and so I'm trying to figure out how to sing better. And so I'm hoping by even leaning into some new songs that maybe that'll help me. So there's a little self-interest in it. But I want us to understand why singing is such an important part of what the church does. Beyond the proclamation of the word, which is the preaching part, and I try to do as much as good as I can with that, and I'm trying to get better. And so your constructive criticism is always open, constructive criticism. But even if you've got something, because I need to learn how to get better. And I was thinking about this the other day as I was looking at our podcasts and to realize that I've preached almost 200 messages since I've been here in various ways. And that's just like, that's crazy when you really think about it. And so, but the idea is that if we're going to be a church that reaches to the community, music is really, really important. The kind of music, whether it's, and again, I get frustrated because I look at this great hymn book that we have, and it's like, why isn't the Rock of Ages? I mean, it's like one of the hymns that we grew up on that I know my grandmother sang to me, Grandma Ruth. It's like, why is that? Partly it's because, oh, it could be all sorts of reasons. Politics, it's crazy that they would enter into something like the hymnal, but it does that. But the other part of it is that, and this is the first point, so if you have your worship notes, take it out. And like I told you, if you've got your smartphone, you can actually get all the notes filled in for you as an incentive. You can go there, just type in events.bible.com, and because you're in the church and GPS, it'll actually find it, and you can actually see, I think, today's and last week's both, and then you can always be ahead. But the first point is this. You are what you... Does that make sense? Is that true? As we're leaning into, I heard yesterday that now the news, this is the day, this weekend is when the New Year's resolutions are like all falling apart. People who were going to go to the gym, yeah, not so much this last week. The things they were going to eat or not eat, not so much. Because of just, it takes rigor and it takes engagement. And so the idea, even intellectually, we are what we eat. And so when you think about how connected we are, and you think about how much content is coming at us, and again, this is just a little segue and another invite for those of you that are here on Sunday morning for the Twisted series downstairs with the adult ed folks, because of understanding that there's a view of things in our culture that gets twisted. And so, yeah, when we think about the music that turns our mind or turns our heart, and I guess that's part of the reason why of leaning into the idea of singing, why that's important. Because you see, you are what you sing. The songs that we have in our minds, how many of you still remember VeggieTales from last week? Remember VeggieTales? I mean, that's at the men's study, it's like, dang it. Dan Dennis said, I thought I had it gone, and then I sang it for him poorly, and it's like, it's back. But when you think about the lyrics of our songs, somehow they find a way into shaping our lives. And we could, you could spend a little bit of time on YouTube and looking at what is driving our culture. You know, is it Katy Perry coming in on a wrecking ball? Was that her? On a wrecking ball, is that right? No. What's that? Miley Cyrus. Okay. But yeah, even who's going to open up the Super Bowl in a couple weeks? The halftime show. All those things sort of matter. You see, our music, it can help define our priorities. It can help define our behavior, and even help define what we value and what we love, so to speak. But as Christians, here's where we need to start. And I want to look at the scripture verse from Peter. This is what it says. Who then will harm you if you are devoted to what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason. And what's this last line? For what? For the hope that is in you. So in those moments, the reason why a song like Rock of Ages, at least in my story, means a lot to me is because in my faith journey, I can remember my grandfather's funeral. That was a song that gave me comfort. And so it's in those moments when we're with people in our culture, at work, at play, at the YMCA, at Skyline, at Starbucks, wherever you are, sitting on the beach here in a couple weeks, some of us will be, You know, it's in those moments that we can offer to the family and to our friends something that maybe will offer comfort. Even last week as we celebrated Kay Prion's life, and we started out as I sat with the family and we sang Joy to the World, a Christmas carol, partly because she knew that we as a church had gone to sing to her mother, but partly to also say we want to celebrate a life well lived. And there is joy even in the midst of our sorrow as we lean together and celebrate her life, because we know that this life isn't all there is. And so as Christians, that's where we get a chance to speak into other people's lives. And so again, we are what we eat, both physically and then what comes into our ears. And so the music that even we're trying to share here on Sunday morning, the hymns, whether they come out of the hymn book, whether they're a lyric video, whether it comes from the keyboard, all those things are part of helping you get ready for the week to come. It literally is what I want to call good soul food. So before I get too deep into this, let me ask you a couple questions. So is there a hymn from your past that is acts like a milestone marker, like I shared about mine? Is there anyone? Is there any hymn that stands out? Kathy? Oh, Come All You Faithful, a great Christmas hymn. Yeah, that's a great one. How Great Thou Art. Yeah. Amazing Grace. That's always one that sort of causes us to pause. And part of what I want us to see as we lean into this is that these great hymns, and even the contemporary hymns that I've introduced and that you hear on the radio, sometimes they're hard to sing. I wasn't aware of it until we actually did some training yesterday with some of our audio folks, just to make the experience here better. And it was interesting, our technician, trainer, Alex, who's from Centerburg, he had just produced a show the night before in Columbus that was in honor of Paul McCartney, I think he said, right? And so they had a Paul McCartney sort of guy there. But he came, and he was just talking about how when we sing with some of the Christian artists, like a Chris Tomlin, that it's a different range. And like, I don't know, like I've said before, I tend to do things just wrong and strong. And so it's just that piece where, because I want us to see that we don't sing for each other. Although there is this idea of congregational singing that's important, but it's really for an audience of one. And so what we get to do with the music is not just offer a good tune, but then also offer words that can encourage. So the idea of the mile markers. How about this? Is there a modern song that is in your life that is also a mile marker? Something that you look to, a song that's like, it may not be a Christian song, but something that stands out that you hang on to? Come As You Are, okay. Which is just this idea, come, it doesn't make any difference whether you're broken, whether you're whole, whether you got it together, whether you don't. It's like, come just before God. Anybody else, is there a secular song that is a mile marker in your own mind? It's like, yeah, I know it doesn't really talk about Jesus, but the Navy hymn, of course, because of your Navy time. Yeah. Sean? Don't Stop Believing? Yeah, I mean, I wish you'd go out on YouTube today and look. There's actually an amazing video of somebody at a concert waiting for Journey to come out, and 65,000 people just start singing that just on the fly, and it's like, that is awesome. Katrina. Right. Right, and if you remember last week, I mentioned, and we talked about this during the Reformation series, is that, you know, sometimes I think this, we tend to think, make things sacred and secular, and Bach is like, no, there's just music, and we can either not sing it to the glory of God or do sing it to the glory of God, even if it doesn't have, because it reflects creation, reflects beauty, reflects the things, and so why does music connect us? And that's why it's really, really important. How about, do you have any favorite songs that give you a good picture of God? Is there any that stands out beyond the ones we've mentioned? I know we've played a lot, you know, you hear it a lot, but the one that's moved me most recently is this one called Good, Good Father. We've sung it here a number of times, just to understand that God is, you know, our good father. And I have an amazing earthly father, just to know that if I think my dad on earth is amazing, that, you know, my heavenly father is even more amazing, and how there's a whole culture of people that need to hear that. Anybody else? Is there a song that pops out that sort of communicates something true about God?
The song that Jerry sings.
Eye on the Sparrow? Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting, even as I sat with Kay in her last weeks, where she wanted that song to be sung because it reminds that if God pays attention to the sparrow, You know, the scriptures tell us, and the words of that song mean, it gives us encouragement that there's actually God's paying attention to my circumstance. And so even though we're sitting in a messiness right now with a government shutdown, and, you know, if you're in a military person, just for instance, and you're not going to get your paycheck, but you have to go to work, I mean, it's like, okay, excuse me, I have a mortgage. Is the mortgage company going to show the same kind of favor that you're expecting out of me to show? And you see, I want us to see that because it really, really matters. Or how about this? Do any of the worship songs that we sing currently, do they help you in your week ahead? I mean, have there been times in the last couple of years where there's been a song that we've sung and it's like, you know, in the middle of the week, it's like, oh my goodness, I need to hear that song again? Kathy. Oceans. Yeah, that's a modern song the kids brought to us, the students did. Just this idea that even when I'm sinking, that God's in the middle of it. And so part of the takeaway today that I want you to think through is really this idea that the songs that we're playing of, you know, here, even as you come in, what I call the pre-service, some of it's contemporary, some of it's traditional, even the songs that the choir sings, it's all of this together is to give you some hooks, some words to hang on to, whether you're going to offer them for your own journey or whether you're going to offer them for the week to come. And so to my outline then real quick, you know, singing sustains us. That's the first point, is that when we sing, what it does in the sort of sub-point is it actually carries Sunday's truths into Monday. And so when the season we're in now with our music, I'm trying to be even more intentional as I think about, and this may seem crass, but I call it just the package, the Sunday morning package. What is it that we start with? What is it that we end with? What's the message in the middle that I'm trying to communicate with my sermon to share with you some encouragement? And then how can we lean into that and come out of that? And so even in the season we find ourselves right now, we've sort of for a little bit, we've changed up the front of the service. So it started with Christmas time, and you've noticed the last couple weeks we've sort of stayed with it. I'm not sure we're going to stay with it, but the idea is instead of just doing a liturgy that doesn't drill down for us, and again, if we're thinking about not so much us in the building, but about those that we want to invite to be part of it, the great liturgies that we own and understand and grew up on, there's a struggle to make them relevant to our day. And so our session and some of our leaders sat down in November and said that if we want to be a church that's welcoming to younger families, we have to think about that. And so and there's a risk in that, and there's some angst in that because it means it may not feel like what we're used to. But you see, I want us to see that it's not about us. I mean, Rick Warren says that in Purpose Driven Life, to say it's not about you. But yet in the tension of that, we've got to figure out how to lead through that and the opportunity that God wants to work in our lives. I love this from the Gettys in the current book. They say, no, go back to this for a second. Next, back to the other slide. They say, every day we wake to the sound of two voices, the one of wisdom and the one of folly, the voice of the Lord and the voice of this fallen world. And I think it's interesting. I thought that was an amazing quote given the context of what our adult ed folks are leaning into on Sunday morning, realizing that the evil one will do nothing more than try to twist your understanding of what you're going to face in the day ahead. And so we must understand in the morning when we get out of bed that there's a song on our lips, literally, and hopefully maybe it's even a song that we sang at church on Sunday, so that as you go into work on Monday, there's encouragement for you to lean into what the day may have for you. And it can be messy, it can be complicated, because look at this, look at this great hymn we just sang. I mean, if you just had these words in the moment every day as you got up, what does he say? Augustus says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. I mean, there is in that an amazing comfort and an amazing encouragement of just how to face life. That when life doesn't come well to us in the morning, that doesn't matter because we all, you know, all literally stand before the cross level ground. And therefore, God delights in us. And therefore, God is fighting for us. And therefore, God wants to offer us the most amazing of things. So you see, we need to see that our singing impacts how we process life. So if our songs aren't strengthening, if our songs that we sing aren't training, aren't encouraging, and aren't comforting us, we've missed a lot. And so in this, our singing sustains us. It carries us from Sunday, the truths on Sunday, our fellowship and the proclamation of the word, into literally every season of life. And so at this point, I want to invite Sheila to come up for a conversation to talk a little bit about even the song we just sang, the choir just sang, to talk about how, I mean, the idea of why, I mean, it actually, is, you shared those words with me the other day. I thought they were, it almost sounded, reminded me of St. Patrick's prayer. You know, this, the breastplate prayer of Christ with me, Christ above me, Christ behind me, but before me. But just, I mean, those words, why are they important?
Well, the way that I choose a song, it comes out of our conversations. I try and get him to choose like 4 weeks ahead so the choir can actually be prepared. We are pretty much hitting that mark now. Then I go to our library and I just pull one of everything that kind of fits the theme. And then I go through and I read the lyrics and I pull out of my pile that I've made, now becomes a smaller pile, of lyrics that match the goals that Tom shared with me that he has for the message and for the series. And then out of that, I start looking at, okay, what matches the current composition of the choir vocally? What matches our current technical expertise level? And now my pile's smaller. And then I get down to maybe 3 or 4 things, and then I'll play through them. And which one really grips, has that melody. I love one of our choir members will come in Wednesday night before choir and say, I have been humming this all day, and it's my fault. We have a YouTube page where I post everything, so the choir can go there and practice when they're not there.
It
could be VeggieTales. It could be Rose Bobby. oh, she's not here. Anyway, so then I narrow it down to melody and the music and what I really like, and then that goes into the service order. So the lyrics and what they express and the way they fit and dovetail into what Tom's told me he wants to communicate is the most important choice. There are things, I'll admit, I even choose music that I don't like. Somebody will like it. So it's not always what would be my top choice, but what has the top communication for where we're trying to go with something.
Right, and I want to say that historically, this church has always been known for its music. I mean, historically with Percy and Nancy and with Betty, and now with your talents, and how I think if we look at how the cultures has changed, and so I want to be as intentional. I mean, even yesterday as we sat with our young friend Alex talking about why do sound, why sound matters, and his whole idea is we want to be intentional. First of all, like this, the whole distraction it's been with, I think it's mm-hmm. a broken cable, this popping sound. It's like that. We don't want that. We want it to be seamless, and we want it to have a flow because
we want it to be invisible.
Right. Because we want to help you find out where you are this week in your journey with Christ. And so hopefully the music that we offer allows us to leverage that in an amazing way. So I thought, and we're trying to figure out how do we teach you new songs. And so I thought maybe what we would do, there's actually one we're going to sing as the closing hymn, but I think it's a Getty song, and mm-hmm. I've loved the influence of the Gettys. It's interesting. I mean, some of it's just taking somebody else's stuff and retooling it for a modern day. But I want you to think about, we're going to sing the chorus now, and then we're actually going to let the song play. But I want you to look at the words. No different than Rock of Ages. This song is called By Faith. And it looks at Hebrews chapter 11 about why our faith sort of matters in a deliberate way. And let's just sing the chorus, if we may, right now. So if you're part of the finance team, or you're paying attention to the information we're trying to provide you in your worship program, our finances are tight. But yet, when I sing a song like this, particularly that last line, go back to the slide for just a second, the last two sentences, we walk by what? We walk by faith, not by sight. Now, that doesn't mean that we're sort of silly and we want to not pay attention to it. But if we want God to operate in our midst, then we have to be willing to risk in that God's going to show up. as he has shown up in so many different ways. And so we want to hang on to those because we don't walk by faith. And we walk by faith rather, not by what we see. But let's go ahead and let's just sing the song together with the lyric video. One song, but you can sort of see how the Geddes, I'm sorry that it popped there on the front end, but it actually starts with some kind of bagpipe or something if you actually watch it live. And it's pretty amazing, the tune, to remind us that, you know, as God talked to the prophets, as he talked to the men of old, men and women of old, that he now talks to us, and we need to be a people that walk by faith and not by sight. And so just to help us do that just a little bit more here, I want us to look at sort of dive into just what is the book of Psalms. Because at least I know this much, there's no controversy over what songs are in the book of Psalms. I mean, it's divinely inspired, so there's no politics over what song makes it in or not. It's because God wants to offer us something. And actually, Tim and Kathy Keller, in one of their books, says this about the idea of the Psalms give us an example of actually, is there a quote before that? Is there a slide before that one? I've got it, I think, in your worship notes. Yeah, that's this one here. That the idea is that the songs can help carry us through the life, every season of life. Particularly, I want us to look at the Psalms because, as Tim and Kathy say, and Tim's a pastor, is retired now of a big church in New York City, he says the Psalms are not just a matchless primer of teaching, but a medicine chest for the heart and the best possible guide for practical living. And in that's what I want us to see. So in those moments, like one more encouragement, read your Bible. In those moments, if you're not sure what to read, the book of Psalms can be a huge encouragement to help you understand what maybe God is saying to you. Or this next quote, this next point here, that the reason why the Psalms give us, we want to look at them, is because they give us examples of songs for every season. And in a book that Tim helped edit along with the Geddes, says this: what ought to make worship delightful to us, think about this, I want this to hang, we ought to make worship delightful to us is not, what ought to make us worship delightful to us is not, in the first instance, its lovely or its aesthetic beauty, but its object. And what is that object? The object when we gather to worship with our voices and with the proclamation of a word and even the fellowship is God himself. That God himself is delightful, wonderful, and we as his people, I'm just interjecting some ways to think about it, we learn to delight in him. It's a process. And so that's partly why, even again, this idea of singing. I mean, if you walk into the National Portrait Gallery, there are countless different pictures of people, shapes, sizes, colors, race, origins, ancient, recent. And so the Psalms are like that. They give us a picture of God. And so just a real quick list here of where some Psalms you can look at later. Psalm 75 says that God is the judge. Psalm 23, which many of us know, that God is the shepherd. Psalm 15, that God is holy. Psalm 2, that God is the king of all the earth. And so when the government shuts down and our president tweets something stupid, we need to be reminded that he's not in charge. God is. That's why these verses and these scriptures are important to us. We need to be reminded that God is our creator. But then I sort of broke out just a couple more Psalms for you to look at because I want you to remember that God can speak to you, that he has a voice. Now sometimes, I don't know about you, I've only had maybe three times in my life where I think God actually literally spoke to me in a moment. In just a sort of a crazy moment. But there's been other times when God has spoken to me through somebody else. And I've heard his voice with as clear as possible. But then also to know that our God, the God who is the judge, the shepherd, who is holy, who is king of all the earth, who is creator, that this one I think we need to know, that he knows our tears. That when we're broken and we're not quite figuring out how life is supposed to be pulled together, that we can hang on that. That God knows our tears, according to David. And then Psalm 25, that God bears our burdens. And sometimes as we pray, we're not quite sure what that does for us because in the moment, for some reason, God lets us sit in the middle of it. Probably because he's trying to teach us something. Maybe he's trying to chastise us a little bit to say, look, I've been talking to you. And all you have to do is read any of the great stories in the Old Testament. And it's full of people that just don't quite get it. And yet they're models for us. And so I guess we need to also be reminded that when you lean into the Psalms, that more than a third of what David wrote are what we call laments. he's lamenting. He's basically, another way of saying it, he's whining. I mean, in some sense. And it may be a legitimate whine because his enemies are coming against him, but those laments are powerful for us to know, first of all, that our God wants to hear that. And so that's why when we come into the building on Sunday morning, we need to be encouraged in that. And so that's why the songs that we're singing and the message we're proclaiming and the experience we want to create even downstairs with our children is to be welcoming and engaging people maybe, yeah, we get it, but maybe people who are far from God and don't know the truths of those scriptures. And so the first point is that God, that singing sustains us. The second is that singing reminds us. And it reminds us of two things. It reminds us of what God has already done for us in Christ by faith. We just sang a song about that. But it also reminds us of what God is going to do for us. And sometimes we need to hang on that. And so as the pastor of the church called Linden Road, this idea of where God's called us to be, to enter into our third millennium, possibly. What does that look like? And yet it's not without some difficulties. And it's like, okay, God, what are you trying to teach us? And so part of this journey together is to have a new way to look at it, to approach it, to be remembering and reminding that God has already done amazing things for us. And yet he is going to do some other amazing things for us too in the future. There's things that have been accomplished. We've been saved. We've been rescued. We've been restored. But that restoration is for a purpose. And as we continue to think about what that purpose is in our community, we have to continue to unpack that. So then the third point is simply this. One of the things that I'm hoping to do through this conversation is trying to raise an appetite in you for singing. I mean, go back to that first statement. We are what we eat. And so thinking about even in your journey through the course of the week, and if you've got a modern car, you're pretty easy to find those songs that you can maybe a playlist on Spotify, things that actually will add to your life, that will pour into you, because it's like soul food. And that's what congregational singing is all about, is actually soul food to encourage us in the week to come. And we grow this appetite by focusing while we sing and by following up, thinking about those songs as we lean into the week because of what we want God to offer us. And so finally, here are just two thoughts. If we are what you sing, then one of the things we ought to be doing is singing the rich truths of the gospel, of saying that, no, by faith. So by faith, when we're not quite sure, no. When we're not quite sure, it's by faith that we trust. And not in a stupid way, but in a faithful way that God is going to be there for us. And that we ought to be also singing these songs often so they can sustain us and remind us. You know, what is it that should be our playlist on a regular basis in those moments on Sunday when life is complicated? Or through the course of the week when it gets complicated even more. And so in that, we want to sing, it's a great hymn, you know it. Great is thy faithfulness. It's one of my favorite hymns. And in that song, I want you to think about, again, to be reminded, to look at the words as they appear on the screen, that God, why is God's faithfulness great? What is it about your own story, what you've journeyed through even in the last week? I mean, I shared with you last week about a conversation I had been in the middle of a sort of a messy leadership thing with someone, and how in that moment when I got in the car, how it could have just been coincidence, but how as I turned on the radio, there was a song there by Big Daddy Weave called Jesus We Believe. And the words of that song, as they came out of the speakers, just literally I felt God's presence in my car as I was driving home, just to know that I believe this to be true. Even though in the moment my heart breaks because of the decisions we had to make, at the same time I know that God is faithful.